Good morning on this Thursday morning, Bride. Good morning. I want us to spend a few minutes this morning. I want us to pray in tongues. Let's pray in the spirit. Let me get some music going on this side. This is Daffy Keys. I love Daffy Keys. La 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 He's so worthy to be praised this morning. Lord, we just lift up your name this morning. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Such a real God. The creator of all the universe. Such a mighty, mighty God, able to hold us, take care of us, carry us, able to protect, warn, help us. You're so worthy, Lord. We lift up your holy name this morning. Lord, I thank you for being with us on these morning calls, Lord. Thank you for ministering to us, Lord. And thank you for helping us to overcome in this hour, Lord, because we can't do this without you. And we thank you for this sweet time of fellowship we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you, Bride, praying in the Spirit is where it's at. Because the Bible says that the Spirit knows what to pray for. When we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the perfect will of God. We're allowing the Spirit to take the most unruly member of our body, which is the tongue, and to speak to God, speak what needs to be said through this tongue in the earthly realm. We're going to talk about this our first semester of Bible college. What is our identity? That's going to be the first thing we knock out, because we're going to have to know who we are. So I really look forward to that, and to the Lord giving further revelation through the month of December. Glory, hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You know, the Lord, I had a very busy night in the spirit last night. And the Lord confirmed that I am to do one final show, a news show, which will be next Tuesday night. I thought about moving it to Monday night because we have a storm, it looks like, coming Tuesday. But next week will be the last one that I am to send in my letter of resignation. And the time has come that the warning is officially over. So this will be my final warning to the public. And it will be a state of the church address. I've done that a few times over the last 7 years. But this will be the final one. I will send out an email. I will make the invitation public from Restream. You know, and then I will send this out and put the word out so everybody can prepare and make sure they don't make any other plans. And we'll give away books and prizes. And, but it'll be the final goodbye to YouTube. It'll be officially over with YouTube then. And, then, the following week is the last week of November. And that is the week that I am taking off on vacation, to be with the Lord. And it's, it's a week of transition. From the old assignment of WATB, We Are the Bride, which was a governmental mantle, the anointing. This is what the Lord told me in my dream last night, is that this is an anointing that He gave me of the natural government and ambassadorship representing the people to them. And then from them to the people. And He said He's promoting me to His government. It's a promotion I'm going through. I'm like, wow. I had no idea. And then I wrote in my journal this morning. I'm like, how much bigger can it get? You know, because I've already been to the White House and been to the United Nations. I mean, where else can you go? So, that's what I wrote this morning. I said, but I'm going to be willing to go and do whatever you tell me to do in this mission. And then I get a letter that I opened this morning after I wrote that in my journal. And she's one of my intercessors. And she wrote me a letter to tell me what she's hearing God say about me. And she said that she sees me standing before President Trump, that I will be called before him to speak the word of the Lord. And I thought, oh, Lord, Lord, please don't tell me you're going to have me stand in front of the Antichrist. I thought I'd never have to see him again. I mean, how weird would that be? I already thought, you know, that I would be one of them that ends up in court, you know, before the United Nations or something, you know, based. I would be like the example case, but, you know, defending what Christianity is. So who knows what God, He told me I'm the ambassador. So whatever He wants to do, I've already spoken a word to Trump and the Republicans, remember? That was back in 2017 when God had me prophesy in front of the White House, in front of the Secret Service, live and everything, right after they opened the door for me to be a White House correspondent. It was the biggest career move in my life, you know, that God did. He promoted me to there, you know, kind of like a a Joseph story. You know, he took me to the palace. And so the door had just opened there when the LGBT threatened President Trump and the Republicans at the National Mall in 2018. And the Lord gave me a dream, and he told me to address it. So I had to, excuse me. I had to stand in front of the White House and address President Trump and the Republicans publicly and warn them and told them if they partner with that perverted, foul devil, there will be no more time. Absolutely not. Time is done. And that God is not playing about it. But if they repent and the nation turns from this perverted, foul spirit, that God would have given us more time. And then 6 months later, he come forward publicly in his allegiance to him. And ever since then, he went downhill. So he made his choice. So I don't know if God's going to have me address the false prophets or address Trump. I don't know. But he did tell me, though, that he is going to be revealing to me the what he's doing and what is happening in his government. And see, the Lord for the past 7 years has had me focus on the beast and his structure and his plans and plots, and to break it down in a teaching manner to the bride, what it is that they're looking at, you know, explaining what is this freedom farce that you're looking at, what is this apostate church. And everything I said come to pass, everything that I revealed, what it is they're looking at, it all came to pass. So now God is going to show us what God is doing and his plans. And then this is where he will probably be sending me on assignments. But the good thing is, you know, the people that would be in the Bible college would be able to be on that journey with me. And I'm excited about it, you know, about learning more about the Lord and his kingdom. Now, on the news yesterday, I talked about the transition that's taking place right now with Trump's cabinet. You know, he met with President Biden yesterday, and the way that everything looked so smooth, you know, like Biden was just handing over the government to Trump, that is the way it used to be. I mean, that's the way the government is supposed to be, you know. It's supposed to be an easy transfer of power. And I believe that when Obama got in, from Obama to Trump to Biden, was all a setup, was all a farce to make it look like all this chaos, so that when the Antichrist steps in his role, you know, everything will be laid out and look like, you know, that he has brought peace, but really he's just doing what it's supposed to be anyway. And one other thing that is pretty scary is what's happening in New York, because you have, you know, that guy that's the attorney general just bowing to Trump. I saw today he's asking them to dismiss Trump's case, postpone it, you know. It's like now that he has what he wants and all this allegiance to him, everything is going to stop as far as assaults against him. Because now, except for the assassination, I still believe that's coming. But they're making it look like, you know, that everything, he's going to be the man of peace, you know. Now, also yesterday I revealed that the USS Abraham Lincoln was attacked. This is significant to us because of the prophecy by Jeff Byerly. Jeff Byerly's prophecy is that that was a sign and a clue that when that happened, we would see the assassination of President Trump. And the way that he described it would happen is you would have this ship would be attacked, and then there would be some type of big event, kind of like a, not really a, he said it wasn't a nuclear war, but maybe a cyber attack. In other words, the reset's about to hit, and that Trump would be in New York, so we need to see if he's going to be in New York this weekend, because I'm kind of nervous about it. I'm like, no, you know, because he was in D.C. last night, so he's right there next to New York. I used to ride the train from D.C. to New York. That's how I, you know, went to the United Nations. But, you know, so we need to, you know, pay attention and see where he's going to be now that, you know, that ship went down. So that's the reason we showed that, is because it does cause you to pause, you know. But definitely, you know, everything's heating up in the spirit, and we know that some of their plans, you know, that they have planned is with their transition team. President Trump is putting in these people that are just, it's just terrible, the people he's putting in. He put in, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy over there with Elon. You know, that's not a good thing. And then he put in, you know, that Doug Burgum. He put in that guy, Roman. That guy, he's so, the one that's the border czar now, you know, he's evil on a stick. And then you got that other guy. Oh, no, that woman, Tulsi Gabbard. Oh, God help us all. This whole cabinet he's putting in, Gaetz. He put in that Gaetz guy. I'm probably not saying his name right. But it's not good. Now, the Jews, they're acting anyway like they're upset that he got in, that he chose him, because Gaetz opposed that bill that happened with the anti-Semitism that they're trying to pass. And he said that if they pass this anti-Semitism bill, that Christianity will be illegal because the Bible will be erased. They will do away with our version of the Bible. So the Jews in this, because I get their newsletters they send out, they say that they hope he gets knocked out because they consider him an anti-Semite. So they're going to try to get him out. So will he, you know, be used as a case of what an anti-Semite is? But if this is all true, then what he is saying is the truth, you know, about this International Holocaust Museum definition of anti-Semitism is very grievous towards Christians, okay? So we also know that, you know, the people that are surrounding Trump in this cabinet, just look at all their nationalities. Need I say anything? Because he is definitely preparing for the Noahide laws. You can see it all around him. And that's another thing I wanted to say about YouTube, is they are hot on my trail. Let me tell you. I uploaded that video of, what's his name? Curly the Bull. You know, when I was doing the garden little sermons, when I was sitting out in the farm, you know, and I was in 2020 and I had just left the White House and I was talking to all the brides, you know, about what's going on, sitting out there with the cows and everything. So I found one of them videos and I upload it because I was going to put it on the website, you know, just to kind of brag on Curly, get everybody to remember Curly. But boy, they struck that thing down real quick, you know. And they said, this, they just know who I am. There's nothing I can do without them just bombing me, you know. But anyways, it was just the Lord saying, I told you get out of YouTube, so I've got to get out. That's another thing, by the way, that I showed on the news last night is how YouTube truly, truly is exactly what I said about them being overtaken by AI, just swamping everything, you know. The way that they're doing the audio and video, AI taking over there, AI taking over the media. You know, they even announced yesterday that, of course, you know, this is Fox News bragging about it, but saying that CNN and MSNBC and all of them are losing all these viewers since Trump won, and all the, you know, liberal media is dying, and all the Christian, not Christian, forgive me, they didn't say Christian. All of the Trump media is rising up. So all I can say about that is we're looking at Hitler 2.0 because this is exactly what happened with Hitler. We're going to end up having a state-based media, which really is Fox News because when I worked in the White House, when I first got in there, remember God told me, keep your mouth shut for 4 months. So I was watching, you know, what they was doing in there and how the media works and everything. Because, you know, I was kind of intimidated because I'm just one person. And I'm in there with all these, you know, the best media in the world, you know. And God just put me on their level. It was really intimidating. And so I started noticing, you know, how they operate and everything. And a couple of things that's just interesting for you guys to know is that all these people that are talking, these beautiful talking heads, they're all beautiful people. Because sex sells, for one thing. You can't have an ugly person up there, you know, talking. But all these people, none of them have their own opinion. When you see these people talking, even that guy that was arguing with President Trump, that was a farce. That was nothing but a show. Because those correspondents have cell phones and they're getting their speeches, questions from the higher ups. So the questions that are asked on the global scale that are seen on TV are all setups. I've seen how that works, you know, and so all these people that you see, they're all talking heads. There is no way that a company, let's just talk about CNN in a minute. There is no way that a company as big as like that, you know, like CNN, would allow a reporter to have their own mind. There's no way. Because they have an agenda. They're not going to let you do anything outside of their parameters. So they sit down with these people and they tell them, this is what we want portrayed to the public. And they tell them what questions to ask the president. I'm just letting you know a kind of little inside thing. Because those mainstream medias are owned by mostly the same top five people, you know. And so it's all propaganda. So one thing that I noticed there that was very weird was Fox News. Now, see, when I went to the White House, I thought, you know, I was on the Trump train and I thought I was Trump's prophet is really what I thought. And so I was praying for him every day, prophesying, you know, telling the devil where to go, you know, doing everything God would tell me to do every day. But so I was really big on the Fox train, you know, thinking these people represent Christians. They're good people, you know. So now I'm in the house with them. So I noticed that, you know, Trump had shut down the press corps and there was no press meetings. And I asked them, why don't we have press meetings? They said, because CNN, you know, bucked him and they were being rude. So he just shut it down. And see, because of that, the public was okay that Trump had shut down the press corps because of that mean, you know, they're all fake news. So, you know, it's okay that he shut them down where they can't do their, you know, normal job. Because let me tell y'all about the press corps. The press corps is nothing but scribes, like modern day. This is the way it's supposed to be anyway. They're modern day scribes. So they represent a demographic. And they go before the government, the highest government of the land. And they get their information from the government. You know, these emails we get that show all of their press releases and all this. And we get every move the president makes. You know, they tell us. And so when we're supposed to meet every day, and then the press secretary is to talk to us so that we could ask questions. That's the whole purpose of the press corps. Because every one of those, you know, I'm saying, if this was done right, say there's only 40. Can you believe only 40 in the entire world is able to get in? And God bless me to be one of those. But anyways, so the press secretary is supposed to tell us what the president's office and the executive office is doing. And then we are able to ask questions based upon our target audience. Okay, so that way the people of the world get represented. And you have all different kinds, right? So Trump shuts that down, where there's only one voice going out, and that's Fox News. So although I was on the train of Fox News, I was noticing this ain't right. I mean, what about all these other people from foreign countries and stuff that want to ask questions about their country? And that's what it is, because remember, my best friend was from South Korea there. And she was always asking questions about South Korea, North Korea, you know, and that's her job. You know, she represents her country. So you're choosing Fox News as the prime message relayer of what you want people to know. And you're not allowing all these other people from all over the world to be able to ask questions. So what they would do is they told all the media that the only group that's allowed to interview the White House staff is Fox News. Now, how crazy is that? So one day after I was in there, you know, a couple of months and started catching on to how they was doing things, I asked them, hey, I got a question. You know, this is just some of the other press corps in there. I said, why is Fox News the only one that's allowed to interview the White House? Well, that's just because that's Trump for you. He just shut us all down and said, the only one that ever has access to him now is Fox News. I'm like, is that even legal? You know, and they knew I was Trump. They used to call me Trump's girl. They knew that I was the one praying for him, but I saw something wasn't right about that. Because what would happen is you would take like, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Okay, she was our press secretary when I was there. So she would walk out with all her staff, walk straight over there outside, because that's where all the tents are, where they do their interviews. So everybody else had to stand on the driveway, which was in front of the president's office, and we did this thing they call the gavel, okay? And so we all was there with our cameras and whatnot. So on their way walking back to the president's office, they would stop and give us 2 minutes and to answer questions. And so, you know, if you got lucky, you got picked, you know. And of course, they picked their favorites because they're big networks, you know, the ones with millions of people watching. But the point that I'm trying to say is he did that the rest of his entire presidency. So then Biden comes in. And now we've got press corps meetings again. Well, I got to go back in there one time under President Biden. And I got to be a part of a press corps real meeting. I was so proud. I was like, I am so happy to be in here to really experience what it's really supposed to be like, you know. Because every media represents a certain type of people. You know, you have liberals and you have conservatives and you have foreigners and you have Christians and you have Muslims and you have Jews. You know, so you have all this different type of news media out here. So now that Trump's going back in, I can only imagine it's going to be a state-run TV. I don't know how. So now they're saying, you know, all these liberals are shutting down. Is he shutting them down? Is he literally shutting down all opposing voices to him? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? See, this is the sad thing about judgment. When God pulls his hand back and says, no more warning, all these people out here are going to be subject to lying devils. And they're going to be, the longer they listen to these lying devils, the more they're going to be convinced and sucked into the metaverse. That is judgment. Because God will shut the mouth of the prophets. And it's a very sad day, you know, when that happens, because it means full-blown judgment, you know, type of deal. So, anyway, I really look forward to Tuesday night, you know, doing the State of the Church address. And I want you guys, I'm asking you, you know, because I won't see you again until Sunday when we have church. I'm asking you guys to please pray for me, you know, that it would be very, that thing, because I will have everyone watching, and it will be the White House and everyone, you know. I've got a lot of the Noahides that are watching me, people, you know, the ones that are working with the Noahide movement that'll be watching me. You know, Trump's people will be watching me. Witches will be watching me. And plus my people. So just pray for me that, you know, that I'll be bold and courageous. And that I will hear the word of the Lord to give the people. And my final warning, you know, just pray for me on that. I'd really appreciate it. And I'm just so very thankful for Dennis. You know, today is his birthday. I still ask you guys to mail him in a card. And even if you're listening to this later, still mail him a card. It doesn't matter if it's late. Just mail him a card and wish him happy birthday. You know, I'm just telling you guys, he's been very good to me. He has been the best husband I could have ever dreamed of. And I'm very thankful that I had the opportunity to experience love before the Lord took me home. And today's his birthday, so I'm excited, you know, to cook. I'm going to make him spaghetti tonight. But anyway, all right, well, let's read the word here. And we're going to start off with an encouraging word to you guys. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Who is as the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face to be changed. I pray that when I speak Tuesday night that my face will be shining, I pray. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Lord, we pray right now that we will keep your oath, Lord, no matter what. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing. There you go. Stand not where you know they're doing evil. and they are advising people of evil things. You know, me and Dennis, we visited that church and we realized, oh no, you know, they're, you know, preaching Judeo-Christian and they're talking about democracy and the things that we do not believe in. So we knew we cannot go back there because we cannot let them people think we agree with this type of thinking, because that is what's taking people straight to the beach, the beast. So stand not in an evil thing, for he does whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what are you doing? Whoso keeps the commandments shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So there you go. Lord, give us wisdom. Amen. Because, look at this, to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knows not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be, unless it's the Lord? He tells us, you know. There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. In other words, sometimes you're going to suffer, is the way I took that. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is vanity. Because this is the word for you guys right here. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. See, these people that look like they're prospering, and they look like they're never having to answer for the evil that they're doing, it is slow. It's not executed speedily. So you just have to know judgment will come, you know, and these people will answer for what they are doing. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his day be prolonged, yet surely I know, look at this, that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. See, we fear God more than we fear the devil, don't we? We fear in our heart that we may dishonor our God. We may displease our God. And that is something we cannot do. See, the faces of men is something that you have to overcome. The faces of their opinions of you, and what other people will say about you, because you honor God and because you fear God. You truly fear God, and you fear him more than you do their faces and more than you do their opinions. But it shall not be well with the wicked, it says in verse 13. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. These people that don't fear God, it is going to be a sad day for them. A sad day. Okay, now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, this morning we opened up the prayer line, praying in the Spirit. I cannot tell you how many times praying in tongues has saved my life. I've already told you some stories. I don't have to rehash them. But praying in tongues is a key to victory. It's a key to overcoming. So when we do our prayer calls, you know, we really do need to start it off, you know, at least 5 minutes and give that to praying in the spirit first thing, you know, to open up our spirit and, you know, bring an attitude of worship and praise. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, this goes back to Hebrew roots, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Remember I was telling you about the tabernacle, what a fascinating study that's going to be. When you have the realization, you know, that Jesus' blood is all that needs to be paid for the humans. It really is fascinating. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, which is one thing I'm going to be happy about, is getting away from the news. I have lost my love and flavor for it because of my encounter with God over the 3-day fast we just came out of. Right before the election, I believe God took that love that I have for it. Now it's a bad taste in my mouth because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of looking at the evil. It's such a joke. I mean, even, you know, last night, when you watch it, you'll hear, I'm like, what a farce. I mean, they're lying through their everlasting teeth. Everything is such a deception. I'm just tired of looking at it. I'm tired of the lies and the falsities and always trying to proclaim what a farce. It's really like this, trying to prove what the freedom farce is, you know, yada yada. So I'm excited to go down rabbit trails in the Word of God. I'm excited to learn the mysteries of God and what He's doing in His kingdom. You know, I'm very excited about that. And yes, it doesn't matter if I only have 20 people. I don't care. It has never been about the numbers to me. Not ever. It's always been about obedience to God. And it's always been, you know, the pleasing the Lord in what I do. You know, and because of what I dress and stuff, it's pretty heavy. You know, and I've had people tell me, sometimes I just can't even watch your stuff, you know, because it is so much truth. I can't stand it. I've had people tell me this, you know, because it hurts to realize it's what it is that I'm saying, you know, because what if I'm right? I mean, you know, just what if? What if this is, you know, the middle of tribulation? What if we are headed towards the great wrath? Martyrdom's about to happen. And all the things that I believe. What if I am right? You know, to these people that still want to live and they don't want to see, you know. They don't want to face the fact that their life is over. And that they need to settle that in their mind. That they're willing for it to be over. They're willing to lose their house and their family. And lose their family that's going to choose the wrong way because they wasn't teaching right or whatever. You know, are they willing to go all the way with God at this point? That's what a lot of people are faced when they listen to me. You know, and it's a hard pill to swallow. It really is. You know, I had a guy call me one time and he said, you know, that he's He didn't come out and say he's a millionaire, but he has a whole lot of money that, you know, he has all tied up into crypto and everything, and it would just be a nightmare trying to pull out of this matrix, you know. And but he still follows me. He still, you know, he still wants to be better. He wants to come out of it. He just feels overwhelmed, you know, because he's so far into the matrix. So right now, let me just pray. Lord, for this gentleman, I'm not going to say his name, but the one that I'm talking about that wants to obey you, Lord, but his riches are so far over there, and it's such a big deal for him to pull out. We lift him up to the throne right now, God, and we speak peace over his mind from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, that he would choose you over it all and that you would help him, Lord, to come out. We hold up his arms when he feels overwhelmed by the work, by this situation and the position that he's in. We pray that you help him to be an overcomer. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, it is easier for a camel. Good point, Miss Becky. Because, and I've often thought about this, you know, all these big ministers. One thing I can say about me that has been a blessing is I don't have staff. Because these people that have staff, that have huge ministries, you know, and they've got a lot of people listening to them and depending on them for their lifestyle and stuff. Hold on, Papa. You know, they're having to take care of all these things. And, you know, for them to just make a decision and to shut down their families, their ministries, and everything is going to affect a whole lot of people. You know. Hello, Papa. Where'd you go? Oh. Where did Papa go? Papa!
What?
Where are you at?
Out here.
Oh. I just opened up the door to let you in.
Oh, I just... Didn't you hear me go up?
No.
No, he's not even there. He's not even there, sure.
Oh, he must have got out with him.
I stopped up with James just to see.
You need to say hi.
His truck is driving.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Hey, Papa, say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, let's all sing happy birthday to Papa.
Oh, no.
You ready? Hold on, wait. I'm going to open up every prayer line, and we're going to sing happy birthday to Papa. All right, here we go. I'm opening up every line. All right, hold on. We're going to do this all in unison.
On the list. On the
and we're going to do it all together as a family.
And I don't see you guys.
And we're going to sing happy birthday to Papa. All right, let me get it all. I think I've got everybody now. I've never done this before. This is a first. All right, here we go. You ready? One, two, three.
Happy birthday.
And they're saying, and many more. And yeah, he is telling everybody thank you.
Oh.
He's very welcome.
He's very welcome.
He's a special man.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me close everybody back up. Thank you guys for singing happy birthday. All right. I'm closing up. Now, Papa, what I would like to know is if you would pray for all of them. That would be wonderful on your birthday.
On my birthday.
Yes, he's 66 today. A young 66.
Oh, I don't feel so young.
It could be worse, but praise the Lord, I am pretty.
Come over here by me, darling.
Okay.
I know you can come stand by me and pray. I'm so happy to have him with me today.
2 hours of wasted drive time.
No, they didn't have it. He was going somewhere to get equipment. They didn't have it. Go ahead, Papa.
They had it, but it wasn't running.
Yeah.
And the lady there says that, well, you know, and it's not her fault. She's just a receptionist. But she said, well, the owner said it's ready to go. And you started it up, and it went running, and it went running, and...
I'm glad it did it there and not got here with
well,
it.
Well, I was going to have them start anyway, make sure.
Oh, that's good.
But anyway, Lord, we just thank you for another beautiful day in the neighborhood here, Lord. And
yes, Lord.
We just ask that you would bless everybody else, Lord, wherever they're at. Just bless their day, Lord, for sunshine and happiness, Lord. And we just thank you for the hedge of protection that you put over each one of us.
Yes, Lord.
Over our homes, over our children, our grandchildren, and our family, Lord. And we just thank you for the angels that you've given charge over each one of us, Lord, that they would pick us up in their hands if any harm would come near us, Lord, or near our home, too, Lord. We just thank you for that safety in these crazy days, Lord. So I just ask that... you bless this time of fellowship with everybody, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless the airlines, and I don't know what scriptures you're on there, but...
Romans 8.
Romans 8, huh?
Yeah.
And bless the word going up forth today, Lord, that it would pierce our ears and our hearts, Lord, and guide
yes,
us, and lead
Lord.
Us in the way that's pleasing to you, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you for all your blessings and... honor and glory in your precious name. Amen.
Well, I want to pray for you on your birthday. Let's all stretch our hands towards Pastor. Lord, we just thank you so much for our pastor, Lord. We just thank you for how you minister to him and how you give him fresh manna from heaven, Lord. We thank you that his heart is an intercessor, Lord, and that you minister to him all through the night. I thank you, Lord, he has a hunger after your word. I thank you, he's a man of integrity, God. I thank you, Lord, that he loves you with all his heart, and he loves the bride. He loves the church, Lord. We pray that you would increase him prophetically, Lord. That you would promote him as you're promoting me, Lord. And that you would give him more dreams in the night, visions, prophetic words for the church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for increasing him as a pastor. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with him as he leads us in the Garden of Eden Ministries. We anoint him right now. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, for this new transition that he's in as well, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for finishing the mission that you have meant for him to do in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless his hands. And Lord, today, as he's out there trying to find that water line, that you would help him, Lord, to meticulously find this place that the clog is, that he would be able to find that underground, that the angels would lead him to that spot, Lord, supernaturally, so he'll be able to close this up and get it finished, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'm not digging out there in the mud today.
Right, yeah, I know. That's the reason he needed that equipment, because he needs a trencher to get down in there to get this pipe. We got a pipe that's clogged up, and he went to this place to get it, and the machine wasn't working. You know, there is the other place, but it's $75 more. That's the one, I think it's in Lexington. Anyway, okay, so let's go back to the word over here. Now, because it says in verse 7 that because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. All right, now hold on here a minute. This is something every one of you have to know. What does he mean by flesh in this part? He's talking about the law is equal to the flesh. Now, please just go with me in a minute, because this is very deep, but God revealed it to me. Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael is like the Jews. They were the firstborn. Then you have Isaac, that is the one born by faith. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is the faith. Now that you know that analogy, go back and let's read this again. There's therefore now no condemnation, because the law brings condemnation, because it's hard to do. This is why the Jews couldn't do it. But God had to divorce them. This is in Romans chapter 8. God had to divorce them because they couldn't do it. This is why he sent Jesus, because Jesus came down. He was the perfect lamb. He's the one that opened up access back to God, you know, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help us walk it out, okay? Now, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, because when you are a Christian, it is faith. It is a faith walk. It is more than the law. It's not that you do away with the law. It's that God now looks at the heart through Jesus. Okay? For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. That's our identity right there. In Christ Jesus. Has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what law could not do, look at this, in that it was weak through the flesh. Why is that? Because the flesh had to do the cookie cutter pattern of the law. This is what I was telling you about. When people go back to the law, they're going back to the familiar. They're going back because it's cookie cutter. It's easier than Christianity, because you know exactly, it tells you everything to do. It's law, 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 law. But in Christianity, it's by faith. It is now, you have to listen to the Spirit. It is now, you know, Jesus goes above it. It's now to the motives of the heart. Now, let's continue. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus did away with the law. This is why there is no more first covenant. This is why the NAR and the Freedom Forest and all this allegiance they have to Israel, where they tell these Jews, you don't have to get saved. You already can live by the first covenant. That's not true. That everyone has to get saved, no matter your tribe, color, race, creed, nothing. Everybody's the same in Christendom, okay? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now let me tell you some characteristics I see of people that go back to the law. Some characteristics that I notice of people that live that lifestyle. When they leave Christianity and go back to the law and they begin doing the Sabbath and begin doing all the feasts and they quit all the holidays, and they just go straight back to it. These people end up with so much pride because now they know it all. They think they know it all. And that's one of the biggest characteristics is they have a lot of pride. And when I went to that meeting of the flat earth people, remember, I covered that on the news. Most of them are Hebrew roots. And so I told them. I sat down with them, you know, and had dinner with their leaders. And I told them, I said, here's the biggest problem with your group. And I just told them. I said, it's called P-R-I-D-E, pride. And this is why you cannot get your message out to people. Because you come across like, that's the only thing in the earth that matters is flat earth. It's like there's no other gospel but that. It's like you just are so zoned in and focused on that one doctrine, you know, that you cannot see straight, and you drive people crazy with it because you just talk. You won't listen. You know everything. And see, y'all, another thing y'all need to know about truthers, because a lot of them are truthers. These truthers that search the internet and they learn. All they do is watch videos all day. They go down these rabbit holes all day. They learn. Is it fills them with pride, and then people don't like them because they act like they know everything. They don't know how to restrain their tongue. When they talk to people, they just spew it all out there and it runs people off, you know. But it's just going back to the law. Okay, now, but things that are after the Spirit, oh, that's what I was going to say, is the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why is that? Because only faith pleases God. See, Jesus opens up the world of possibilities. He opens up to where we are limitless in Him. We are in such the, I call it the wild blue yonder, because He's beyond the law. He's all faith. I mean, He can cause you to have faith to do the, you know, when you go back to the law, forget faith, forget miracles. You're stuck in this box, you know, you're stuck in this law box. But in Christianity, in faith, there is no box. You're in the wild blue yonder, baby. Jesus can do the craziest miracles. You know, and have you do crazy things because he knows what he's doing and he's leading and guiding you. But the only thing that pleases him is your obedience. It is your faith. You obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is your walk of faith, see. When we restrain, we hold back because we have this fear. I can't obey God. I can't go here or do this or leave here or do that because I'm afraid of what on the other side that's going to look like. See, that's not faith. Faith is, okay, here's an example. A woman living with a man in sin. She's like, I'd rather be here where I know how it's going to look. I have somebody paying my bills and I can figure this thing out. But faith would say, I'm going to walk out of this right now. I'm taking everything I have. I'm going to throw it in a suitcase. I am walking out that door because I'm going to honor my God. I am not going to dishonor him anymore being in this relationship. Because me being here, I've had people say, I don't sleep with him. We sleep in separate rooms, so it's okay. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it is not. You being in a building where people can look at you and say, you being there is in agreement with this. These people are thinking you're sleeping together. It's the image, the portrayal of you being there is what is terrible. Because the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. You know, and you just being there, your presence there gives the appearance that you're touching the unclean thing. You know, it's all about the perception of what other people see when they see you there, see. But the faith is where you can't walk out that door because you're so afraid of what's on the other side. There's a lack of trust that the Lord is not going to honor your faithfulness. He's not going to honor your trust in him that you give up that sin and you walked out that door and believing that he's going to take care of you. But see, God always honors your faith. He will honor that. He will honor your taking a stand for righteousness. You know, my mother was married. She was an alcoholic and she used to drink a case of beer a day. And she was married to a very wealthy man. Not married, but dating a very wealthy man, living with him. And they used to travel all the time, you know, in their motorhome and whatnot. And she was driving a big Cadillac. You know, that was back when the Cadillacs was in. And I started going to church, so she started getting convicted. And I kept inviting her to church, and she'd say, nah, because she wanted to be drinking. So one day I had this revival. Now, she used to tell that boyfriend, she'd say, now, I'm going to tell you this. Now, if I ever do go to church, I'm leaving your butt because I know what I'm doing is wrong living with you. So I'm just telling you, if I ever do that, I'm out of here. You know, and he's like, well, don't do it then, you know. So we had this revival. And I invited Mom. I'm like, Mom, please come to this revival. I heard this guy is so good. I'd love to have you come with me. So she woke up on that Sunday morning. And she thought about going to the revival that day, but she started drinking a beer. And she drank and got so drunk that day. And the next morning, she felt so guilty. She went into work at 4 o'clock in the morning because she was working in the... Now, see, he owned all these stores, these gas stations, and she was his manager. So she was a perfect manager. She'd run everything. So he didn't have to do nothing, you know, and he paid her real good. So she was working and cooking breakfast in this one store, and she was back there cooking that morning, and God was dealing with her about what she did. And so she told God, she said, God, if you will help me not to drink a beer today, because she used to smoke cigarettes like I used to, you know, a whole bunch of them. And she said, if you'll help me not to drink a beer today, she said, I'll go to that church tonight. So she gets off work and she didn't drink. And she walked in that church and she said it felt like a hand just grabbed her heart. And it was like so heavy on her the whole time she was sitting there. And I mean, that preacher preached right to my mother. It was like, you know, God sat down at a table and just sat and talked to her about her life. Because, you know, she was raised by an alcoholic who used to beat her mother and all of her and her 10 brothers and sisters. And so, you know, she just married somebody like her father. And so she's sitting there listening to this preacher. And when the altar call come, you could see my mother sitting over there grabbing that pew in front of her with her hands turning blue where she was really fighting, you know, going down to the altar. So I looked at her and I said, Mama, I said, Jesus is waiting on you at that altar. And when I said that, boy, she took off running and she went down there and cried like a baby. She cried and cried and cried, and God really touched her. She got saved, and God took that beer. He took that alcohol from her that night. And then the next night she went, and she said, I want God to take my cigarettes. And he took her cigarettes. That Saturday, he went to work. She brought a U-Haul trailer there, and she moved out. She had no money, and she moved back. She had a house in the country, and she moved back to that house in the country, and she left him. So he kept calling, why'd you leave? She goes, I told you. She said, when I got saved, I'm leaving. I left. I'm gone. I am not going to work for you again. I am done. She quit it all. He said, I don't believe you. So the next day, he had people calling him when Mama didn't show up. He said, what? She really did it? Boy, I really opened his eyes because now he's having to run everything, you know. But anyways, the point is that she had the courage and the boldness to leave him and leave all that wealth and riches and went back. And she ended up, he come back promising her the world. And that pastor of that church we was going to knew that he was one of the wealthiest men in the city, you know. And so he told her to marry him. And she married him. And he put her in prison. He slept with her the first night, and then he didn't sleep with her again. And he told her she had to sleep in the basement. She couldn't have her grandkids over. She couldn't listen to worship music when he was around. He didn't want her watching Christian TV or nothing. It was the devil put her in jail. And she, for 3 years, she lived with that man down in the basement, and she would listen on the two-way radio under the blankets hiding from him. And she would listen to TBN. You know, I really believe TBN and them was really good back in the day because it really changed my mother's life. That's how she would get fed. So one day, finally, she got enough courage to leave him. So finally, she got divorced, and then she was happy the rest of her life. She died single, you know, and she ended up going to heaven where she got to be with her true love, you know. But anyways, the point is that she made the choice to walk in faith and to step out of that door and leave him. And we have to know that Jesus will meet us on the other side of that righteousness. But as long as we stay in there, you'll never know the limitless power of God, you know. So let's go to the next scripture. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is verse 9. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, that goes back to Becky's comment earlier, talking about, you know, when you get saved, you really are dead. Now, true salvation is like that. And this, when I lead people to salvation, that is how I tell them it is. When you get saved, you are truly giving your life to the Lord. You're choosing to leave this world. It's a death sentence. And that's really what salvation is. Because you're choosing to give God your life and to allow Him to take you into this other realm. This other identity, you know, that He has for you. Because the world, y'all have heard me tell the story of the trees. The world has an identity for you. It has an expectation for you. It has a vision of what they want you to look like, to act like, and to be like. But God's vision for you is totally different and probably opposite. You know, it is the wild blue yonder. It is something you could never dream of or expect, you know. But the thing is, it really does take a lot of courage to step over into that. Because the world rejects you. It really is. You're living in the life that is opposite of the acceptable way of the world. Because when you're walking in this, you're walking in a realm of holiness. You know, so you're mindful of your image that you're not, you know, that you're very modest. You know, you as a woman, you think about these things. You know, you know who you represent, so you don't want to come across, you know, as a hoe or anything, you know, type of deal. Much less, you know, the places that you go. I've had people tell me, you know, I go to the bar all the time because I'm going there to preach. I'm like, really? You really think that God is telling you to go to the bar on Saturday nights? Yeah, I don't drink. Okay. But you're saying that God is telling you to go in the devil's territory every Saturday night. And you're just in there talking to all them people about Jesus. And they're all getting saved. And that bar is letting you sit in there and do that. I mean, what a farce, people. See, you have to understand about the image and the perception from other people. When they see you walk in that bar, you are in agreement with those people sitting in that bar. You're in agreement with what they're doing to these people, with their drinking and everything else. You know, you got to listen to my sermon called The Power of Agreement. Because, you know, in that sermon, I talk about this, you know, the places you go, the things you partner with, the groups you partner with. You know, it's all bringing the power of agreement, much less if you give money to it or, you know, you're buying stuff from there. You're supporting their vision and what they're doing. So you're going to these bars and you're, you know, buying their food and their drinks and you're supporting their staff and whatnot. You know, you're going to answer to God for this. Because we're called to be not, we're in the world, yes, but we're called to be not of the world. It's a walk of holiness. You would not touch the unclean thing. There's a standard that you have, you know. And you wouldn't, okay, let's say, and I've often said this to people, these preachers, that they're usually men, by the way, that want to go in there, and they're sitting there with all these women. I remember how I used to be when I went to the bar. I had everything hanging out. And you're a minister going in these places with these, you're in an environment with these women dressed like this, you know. And all of this is going in your spirit, all this music, the demonic music, all the lust demons in there, the perverted foul devils, the perversion talk in there, you know, just no way, people. I mean, you know, you'll never sell me on that one. But I tell these preachers, I'm like, okay, so you're going in there. And then you go Sunday and you preach and there's somebody sitting in your congregation that was there in that bar with you on Saturday night, and then they're watching you up there preaching, and then what you don't know is that this person has an addiction to alcohol. This person has a real problem, you know, and they see you there and they think it's okay. You know, you need to, it's what you represent, you know, type of deal. But anyways, let's continue. Okay, so, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, here we go, not to the flesh, not to the law, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Why? Because the law kills. You will see people that go back to Hebrew roots and they just look dead. They look, because the law will drain you. It's impossible to live that life. You know, it's because there's nobody that is perfect. No one. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, here we go, they are the sons of God. That's the key. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. This is where it comes in, us getting saved through Jesus. We are adopted in. We are grafted in. We now have access through adoption. Because of that, we don't have the spirit of bondage again. It is bondage going back to the law, see. For this, and it says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, you mean because you get saved, you are now an heir to the throne? Yes. You are an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. Why is that? Because now you're his bride. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be glorified together. You mean we're going to suffer being a Christian? Yes. The real Christianity is suffering, because, and I'm going to tell y'all this too, and I know God's going to have me address this in my last video, is that you ain't seen suffering until you see what we're about to go through in the earth, because the utopia picture that's being painted, okay, And them getting wealth from entering into the beast. And they're driving down the road and they're driving their new cars and their houses are paid off. And they're maybe even buying a big mansion. And, you know, they're living at large. And then you are locked out of the financial system. And you're suffering. You know, you're going to see it in a real way. Or even if they come and take you off to a camp because you refuse to jump aboard this new global utopia. You know, you're going to look out and see. You'll see what suffering is. You know, because the reason they're doing that on their side is because they want to pressure you. They want to pressure you to fold. They want you to come on over. So they want you to see what it's like to suffer and to be without, you know. This is why we need to press into God more. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Which, that is something I'm very excited about, is what is God about to do? I mean, I'm excited because now I'm going to have new stories to tell. I'm excited. What are you going to do, Lord? You know, we get to see the glory revealed in all of us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Remember, I told you guys that these trees out here are waiting for us to be an expression of God. They're waiting on us. Like I was telling you the story about the Garden of Eden farm down here, you know, and how when I got here, the vines were overtaking the trees and you couldn't see nothing because it was all just a bunch of weeds and, you know, growed up mess. Okay. Now here we are 2.5 years later and, you know, Dennis is mowing it down, you know. I mean, he's got this land cleared off 3 acres back. You know, and now I know the trees are clapping their hands. They're like, wow, you know, we got a farmer here that is catering to us. You know, he's cutting the vines off that have been choking us. He's pruning us, you know. The trees of the field are clapping their hands at righteousness that has arrived on the land. Not only that, but the prayers that are soaking the trees, the worship that is soaking the trees, the love of God that is here, the favor of God, the sunshine of God. You know, you can just imagine how this place really feels, you know. I really think that because the creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, you know. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same to hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, what is he yet hope for? But if we hope for that that we see not, then we do patience wait for it. True, true, true. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. Oh, this is praying in tongues. This is why we need to pray in tongues. He that searches the heart. Oh, wait a minute. The Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Meaning when you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying for you, you see. And he that searches the hearts, which is the Holy Spirit, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Isn't that beautiful? To them who are the called according to a purpose. Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am the called. I am called according to his purpose. And I know today that all things are working together for my good. That my God is working on my behalf. I have angels working with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on just a second.
Hello?
Yes. Oh, let me tell my husband. I will call you back.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't know if I can get in touch with Dennis. Ah! These flip phones don't have any service. These flip phones are horrible. We have no service down here. No texting, no service. It's like not even having a phone because we have no cell phone. Hold on just a moment. We have no cell phone signal down here. I mean, which is a good thing because we're protected from the beast, I guess. Dennis! See? Dennis! Can you come here? Okay. I should have had the walkie-talkie. See, that's what you get for not having the walkie-talkie out here in the country. All right, girls, what are y'all doing in here? Y'all want a treat or something? Y'all think you can come in Mama's office just because I have these treats that these bride by you guys allow cowbell? No, we have those walkie-talkies. All right, Princess. There's you some, and there's you some, Princess. Okay. All right. We have people mail us organic dog treats. These dogs eat good. Okay, so anyway, anywho, we know all things work together for good that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. Who he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Boom. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that just, that's what I'm going to say to President Trump. If this woman's intercession is right, and I'm called before him to answer for what I've done, I will look at him and say, all right, Romans chapter 8, verse 33, sir. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies me. Who is he that's condemning me? It is Christ that died, yea, rather risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for me, sir. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, bam, distress, bam, persecution, bam, bam, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Wow. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yes, we are. Nay, in all things, look at this, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isn't that beautiful? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that beautiful, letting us know? Listen here, people. There's nothing that can happen that will separate us from God. So that is a wonderful revelation that we have. God is good. Amen. All right, so that's my encouragement for you guys today. And I pray that you are encouraged in the word today. And I will see you guys on Sunday at church. Well, to those of you that are on the Zoom, I will see you guys tonight. God bless.